You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Lots of mudslinging has begun in the case of Karen Reed. Both sides very vehemently defending their positions, as would be expected. Accusations of Karen Reed and a state trooper, Michael Proctor, inappropriately searching for nude photos of Karen Reed. Accusations of Karen Reed saying, "I hit him. I did this," right at the crime scene. Lots of back and forth. Joining me to discuss, former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Fardis. Let's start with some of the more salacious pieces that we've seen in this last week, because it doesn't look very good for the prosecution on some of this, where we're hearing about, a state trooper telling his friends, looking for nude photos on her phone once they found it. I mean, how is this going to continue to play out? And also, how does it play out in terms of, just legally doing something like that when you're in that sort of a position of power?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've seen law enforcement sometimes just completely throw the rules out and do whatever they want in terms of looking at people's personal devices. Mm-hmm. And so that's clearly a problem. And it's a bigger problem for the trial, for the government, because, Karen Reed is saying, hey, there's a conspiracy here. The law enforcement's out to get me. They're against me. And people view that with skepticism. But then when you have evidence like this of a law enforcement person looking for nude photos and sending her text that he wants to do her harm or something to that effect, I think it just bolsters the defense's sort of take on the whole case.
I mean, it certainly poisons it, because it doesn't necessarily mean there's a conspiracy out to get her, but it means there's a lot of bad behavior that's going on behind the scenes. Is it kind of a reflection when you see something like this of a department as a whole? I mean, I guess we're just kind of speculating, but if one higher up is doing this, you got to imagine it must be kind of a culture where this is somewhat thought of as acceptable behavior amongst their bubble.
Yeah, there are department policies and law and ethics that strictly prohibit this kind of thing. But when you have someone in leadership who is just flaunting that policy and doing whatever they want, saying the rules don't apply to them, of course people start thinking, hey, is this something that is spread throughout the office? Are there other folks in the office who are doing this? Are there other folks in this case who are not following the rules?
Yeah. It certainly doesn't, bode well when you're trying to say there is no conspiracy. And I mean, I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying it seems like it's up in the air, and there's a lot of, bad behavior on a lot of parts here. Another big thing that we heard this last week in the first week of the trial, "I hit him, I hit him." The statement that was being made by Karen Reed, according to some of the first responders that showed up to the scene. I don't know. I mean, when I hear that, these people have no reason to lie. They have no reason to make this up. They were just there accounting for, number one, trying to save John O'Keefe's life. Obviously, that was unsuccessful. But they have no reason to try and frame her. And the idea that they're going to suddenly come up with this conspiracy within 3 seconds, like a couple minutes of this all going down. Again, it just seems a little far-fetched. But when you have someone saying, "I did it, I hit him, I hit him," how do you walk that back?
Yeah, that is what some people would see as like a direct confession to this crime. In terms of how the trials played out, that representation that she said that has been called into question. There are multiple law enforcement officers now who are saying, "I didn't hear her say that." Mm-hmm. There was a paramedic who got on the stand and said, "I was asking her, do you know him?" Mm-hmm. And the response I heard was, "I hit him, I hit him," or "I know him, I know him." Or excuse me, "I hit him, I hit him."
Yeah.
But that could, perhaps the paramedic misheard that. So that confession, I think, is really being strongly challenged at this trial.
How strong is some of the digital evidence, specifically talking about the phone? And it's saying that, we'll talk about Karen's, where it shows her speeding or in reverse at like 20 some miles an hour at a very short distance, which would kind of indicate there's somebody there that's not going to turn out well for them. And then just convincing a jury of its legitimacy, I guess, is the question.
You know, I think it can be, I think it's subject to multiple interpretations. You know, on the one hand, it doesn't lie, right? It's not something that can be easily manipulated mm-hmm. or misheard or something like that. So it's more sound for the government in that sense. But, you know, the defense is contending that there was kind of an argument, a heated argument that may have taken place. And Karen Reed was trying to get the heck out of there. And so that cell phone evidence also can support that version of events. And so it's more sound, but it's by no means conclusive.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.